in that Tuesday's pastor's prayer time just a few weeks ago, we read this text and prayed through it. And you'll notice even the prayer itself follows the pattern upward and inward and outward. And I see Brother Al Vandergan here this evening, and this is a pattern that he's been using for years, and he's been introducing it to pastors' groups here in Whatcom County. How many pastors' groups are meeting now in Whatcom County? There's eight of them. And his faithful ministry continues among us. But I invite you to stand now for the reading of God's Word. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, your father, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand they should do. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we have before us here a model of how to pray. Interestingly, this is the longest recorded prayer in the book of Acts. It's not that long. But it is a model, an example for us in how to pray, especially in times of trouble. And I think a prayer we could take up again and again in these next months in this election year. But I want us to consider how a prayer that was prayed 2,000 years ago can still speak into our lives today in this 21st century postmodern America. Now, the apostles had just been released from imprisonment with the Sanhedrin and the Jewish council and all of the elders and all of that. And they had been given a serious threat. And they had been told to speak no more of this man Jesus. They had been threatened by the religious and political authorities in that day, in that city. And those people had real authority to do some pretty harsh things. So to disobey them would be to invite severe consequences. And the very first thing they did in the face of this trial and this trouble was not to run or to hide or to complain, but to pray. The real test of our Christianity is our prayer life. The real test is the priority that we give to it. Now, prayer, in its very simplest terms, is communication with God. But if you drill down a bit, there is something much more radical to consider about prayer. This world of ours is ruled by Satan. It's filled with demons. It's a world where darkness and wickedness reign. It's a world where kings and rulers and godless people plot against God. And so in this world, prayer becomes a subversive act. It's an act of military aggression. It's a declaration of allegiance with the other side in this great spiritual warfare on earth. Satan hates prayer because it humiliates him. It says he isn't winning. It says his will isn't being done. Prayer is going over Satan's head. Prayer is calling in superior firepower. It's going nuclear, if you will. Every single prayer is another humiliating defeat for the enemy of our souls. Satan is defeated every time Christians pray. Every time husbands and wives pray together, every time parents pray with their children, every time a meeting or an appointment is opened and closed in prayer. Prayer is an acknowledgement that the God of the universe is still on his throne. He is still very much in control. And it says that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. As I said to someone this morning after the service, thinking about all that we had heard this morning and shared about the challenges that children face, and I think in one case, a particular child in particular, and the truth of the matter is that child is vulnerable to our prayers. Every child, vulnerable to our prayers. Whether they know it or not, whether they like it or not. Notice that, of course, the apostles didn't hide, they didn't isolate, they met with their friends. And what a reminder also of the blessing and encouragement of the fellowship of believers in prayer together. So don't miss out on that opportunity and the effect that trials and troubles can have in our lives when they drive us not just to God, but they drive us to each other. They drive us together in community to support one another and to be on our knees together. So don't despise times of difficulty and don't think God isn't in them. After all, a time of crisis produced this prayer for us, and it is gift and grace to us. Now, let's look a little more closely at this model for prayer. Notice they spend 5 verses praying about who God is and only the last 2 verses about what they want. Kind of upside down from many of our prayers. This isn't just some general generic prayer. Every word specifically applies to their present situation. And so when you're praying in the midst of a situation that is fearful or that seems out of control, how do you want to come before God? What do you want to emphasize? Sovereign Lord. What a way to begin. The one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, and he did it out of nothing. He simply spoke, and it was. Sovereign Lord, God of absolute power and supreme authority, the one who created the world is more powerful than those who are created in the world, Satan and rulers and authorities and all people. If God created the entire world and everything in it, then it is subject to him. It is ruled over by him. It is under his control. He is the potter, and we are the clay. The entire world and everyone and everything in it is clay in his hands. It's mind-boggling. It's head-scratching. The utter futility of those who were scheming against God. It's laughable. When God is sitting there on his throne watching every step they're taking, how do you get the upper hand on a God who knows everything you're going to do even before you do it? Look what the principalities and the powers, the spiritual and earthly rulers did to Jesus. They raged, they plotted, they killed God's holy servant, but to what effect? Utter failure. God exposed the futility of man's and Satan's rebellion. Yes, Jesus suffered greatly, but he triumphed greatly. And this is and ought to be the source of great encouragement, great boldness, great confidence for us as we pray. Now, notice what they didn't ask for. They didn't pray for safety or security or protection. They didn't call down fire on their enemies. They didn't ask that they could just lead quiet and peaceful lives. They don't ask for favor from the authorities. Not that any of those kinds of prayers are necessarily wrong or bad. They're not. But they aimed higher. They aimed for faithful obedience to the Lord's command. They asked for boldness, for strength, for courage in the midst of the trouble. They pray for more divine manifestations, the kind that got them into trouble in the first place. They don't care about themselves. They care about building up the kingdom of God. They want the power of God to be on full display. Notice they only make one very brief comment about the actual problem. Lord, look upon their threats. That's all the more they dwell on the problem. Before God, it's not a problem. When we're facing serious problems, we often focus on the problem more than we do on God. The wrong way around. So this is the prayer that we need today, especially in the face of the increasing threats and obstacles to the proclaiming and living out of our faith in our country and around the world. Our freedoms are slowly narrowing, and so we face an even greater threat. Our threat is not so much persecution, but comfort and ease and entertainment and lack of interest in spiritual things. As one author put it, we are amusing ourselves to death. We're filling our minds with mindless entertainment, whether it's Netflix or YouTube or Facebook or TikTok or cable TV, wherever it comes from. We're just being saturated with the junk food of our culture, so we no longer have an appetite for God's truth and God's word. And so we all need this prayer. And for, yes, countries that are facing persecution and countries that are affluent and comfortable. And then we read in the last verse, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So God confirms that he heard their prayer, and he gives a visible sign from heaven. In the Old Testament, there were times, as I think of Isaiah's prayer, when the temple shook, the ground shook, and it was a sign that God was there, that God was with them. And what an encouragement, of course, this is to the faithful to continue to be faithful. The presence of the Lord was with them. But it's not the only way that God shows his presence. He speaks to our troubled souls by many means, by many the signs of grace. First, just the simple answer to prayer and the peace that passes all understanding. God loves prayer because when he responds, it glorifies him. And so his answer to our prayers comes back to us in many forms, in many varieties. And of course, our response is praise and gratitude and thanks and worship. So this prayer is completely relevant to our needs today. Too many of us are drifting along, complacent, content with the status quo, at ease in this world, unaware of the spiritual realities around us, that this is an open universe in which God is present and he is working and acting. And so we need this outpouring of the Spirit on our church and on our community and our country now more than ever. And so it is that we gather tonight to focus and to pray and to ask for God to manifest his presence and power and grace in this year that's ahead. So let's take to heart this model prayer. Let's apply it to our own prayer lives. And so I summarize what I've shared from this text in these bullet points. First, in times of need and trial and temptation, turn quickly to prayer as they did. Second, pray vertically, acknowledging who God is and that we are praying to a sovereign God. Third, saturate your prayer with Scripture as they do here from the Psalms. This is a wonderful practice to fill your prayers with Scripture. Take the Scripture that you read in your devotions and turn it into prayer. Fourth, pray with and pray for others. Fifth, pray more about God and His reputation and the advance of His gospel and His kingdom. Pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And sixth, pray for more of the Holy Spirit to be evident in our lives individually and corporately. God created the universe out of nothing. What can He not do in answer to our prayers? God planned the crucifixion of His Son for our benefit. What more can He not do? God guides human history and our history. What can He not do for you? We are praying tonight to the sovereign Creator God, who delights to hear and answer the prayers of His children. Let us sing and pray in confidence to our Father in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as Your disciples asked You, so we ask, continue to teach us to pray and how to pray. We are so inadequate and we fall so short. We ask too little and too infrequently. The Christian life that You hold out to us is impossible, in fact, without dependent, persistent prayer. So help us by Your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, guide us and wake us up. And Holy Father, thank You that You are sovereign. And because of that, You are the one and only true prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. Hear and answer and help us now, we ask, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.